figure it out. So it's basically three words, but we are going to treat it as if it's one word, because that's how you say it.
We all want to help one another. Human beings are like that. We want to live by each other's happiness, not by each other's misery.
Don't ever let somebody tell you you can't do something. You want something, go get it.
The effect you have on others is
get
the most valuable person there is.
Put the headphones on.
Do you think that people that are like radio pronouncers and stuff, like do it for decades, I think it's really weird to them hearing their voice any other way?
Yeah, it'd have to be a weird sensation. But then again, generally most of those people have a fairly melodious voice anyway, so they just, you know.
Yeah, they do sound good.
Oh, I mean, like John Laws, fuck off. Well, but this John Laws.
Yeah.
Fuck, he could have been Batman.
What a strange thing, right? Like we are so, yeah, like. People that do voices, right? Like, it's...
When you see him in life, you get fucking shocked and go, what the fuck?
Like, John DiMaggio. John DiMaggio does Bender's voice and is Jake Dog on Adventure Time and all these sort of characters. And you're like, oh, I didn't think he'd look like that. He's like, old dude, chunky.
Oh, it's bizarre.
Weird.
Yeah. Same as the girl who does Bart.
Yeah.
Lisa and a few other ones.
Her name.
You know, I actually never thought Bart Simpson was done by a female. Never came to it. And then all of a sudden, I was like, what?
Yeah, Hank Azaria does Mo. He kind of looks like Mo. You can see Hank Azaria being Mo. But yeah, like, real weird.
Oh, yeah. And here's another one that I got caught with one time. I remember watching Futurama and sitting there listening to it, and there's a female robot or something. I can't remember what it is. And I'm thinking, I know the voice. I'm thinking, what the fuck is that? Took me like about, you know, over a period of maybe 6 months to actually all of a sudden go, that's Peggy out of fucking Married with Children.
She plays Leela.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's like, I could recognize the voice and go, what the fuck?
That was such
drive
a
me
good
mad.
Show. Futurama was such a good show.
Drove me fucking mad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I fucking know that voice, son of a bitch.
Yeah, she does Leela. Yeah, so good. Oh, so strange.
It's a frustrating thing. We had yesterday had a teleconference at work, and this will be the last time I mention that. And some of the ones didn't have actually the video face up.
Yep.
So I'm looking there going, you can hear the voices and go, I know that. Who the fuck is that? I know that. Who the fuck is that? And the guy next to me was sort of saying, who's that? I'm going, hang on, just give me a minute. I say, don't stop talking. Don't stop.
Just scanning all your memories of all those meetings.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, who says stupid shit?
All of them.
Fuck. All of them. Oh, coffee and talking shit. What a fucking way to go.
What a way to be. How have you been, sir?
I have been absolutely fucking magnificent. Fucking
this has been sporadic. These meetings have been sporadic.
Yeah, we've not...
So hard with not our rosters.
Continuity of stuff has been shithouse. I've missed sitting down talking world-class smack. I hope you guys have missed us talking world-class smack.
I get messages every now and then on our podcast this week. Oh, fuck. Yes, I wish we had them. But that's okay. We're going to try and record two this week.
Yeah, get two so we get one in the bank and we'll just
chuck one out on the weekend and see how we go. So
We can't all be like Rogan and have people wanted to turn up and do you think? I mean, because obviously he makes a shitload of money.
Just made a shitload of money. Yep.
Do you believe that he's done the wrong thing? I mean, and I'll put it out in two ways. One, he's now forcing his podcast to actually be paid for. People have to pay in to actually listen to it.
You don't.
Well, for Spotify, I think you do. I don't think
it'll be... listen to it, just you're going to have ads.
I don't know if it'll be the... Oh, is that how it works? Mm-hmm. I wasn't too sure. I was going to say,
For Spotify every X amount of time, it just chucks an ad in there.
Fuck.
So it's still free.
Oh, that's good. That's the bit I wasn't too sure about, whether it'd only be the paid subscription.
But he's so fucking good. Like, don't you think he deserves to get paid for it?
He definitely does, but at what particular stage is how much is enough?
Well, who's enough? Who says enough is enough?
Yeah, well, I've never worked out.
The guy's agent is who decides enough is enough, right? You're talking like $50, $60 million for actors and stuff.
Yeah, because it's quite strange. Like, I mean, he, and this is what I've heard, and I've got no proof of this at all. I've heard that his podcasts are worth $75,000 a podcast. That's what I'd heard.
It'd have to be more than that.
Yeah, and look, and that's the thing is I don't know.
Have to be. Let me Google. Where's
Jamie? Are you here? Oh, fuck.
Jamie, how much does Joe make?
You're still hanging out with buddy with Rogan, are you? So I mean, look, that's an immense amount of money, and obviously Spotify's paid him $100 million.
$152 million.
Wow. Well, yeah. So that's a fucking fuckload of cash. Crazy.
Listen, average. But like, who are we to decide? Like, wouldn't you just make as much
for his kids?
One
I mean,
half billion times a year he gets listened to around the world.
I would do. I mean, look, the variety of people he gets access to, and who want to come onto his show.
I think the best thing he's done, right, is just what he wants. Like, well, he started with like his mates and wasn't going to fucking, like, it was just something to do. And obviously he's very smart and obviously seen that maybe there was something there. But to be able to, I don't know, I think, you know, how many episodes is it now? 13 or 1400.
Yeah, that's right. He's been going for a long time.
Like, he deserves to get paid for it.
Well, I think he's doing at least two a day.
Oh, he'd be minimum, doing two, he'd be two doing and three. He'd probably be doing four or five a week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, an immense amount. Which is, look, that's so cool. And some of the people he has on there are absolutely fucking brilliant.
He never gets bored. Like, he doesn't get boring. He doesn't slow down. Great. You never see like conversation fatigue, and it starts to what just 3 hours.
Oh yeah, can just pump it out
daily, like, you know, four or five times a week. Fuck, yeah. We'd run out of shit to talk about, but we're not very interesting.
No. But I suppose that's the reality of
that's where the guests come in and they make it so different.
Oh, look, and some of the people he's got on there, he barely gets a word in. He doesn't need to.
That's way to be, right? It's Parkinson. It's all those sort of things, right? It's those.
Well, Parkinson was one of the best. If he ever got Billy, like, Connolly or Robin Williams on, you know, there, I mean? Never got to speak.
You just
for an
say
hour,
one thing and boom. Then just sit back and let them turn themselves
watch,
on. Yeah.
Watch the deck of cards unfold. Yeah,
yeah, it's crazy. I really like Graham Hancock too. Do you like him?
Yeah, I do.
Really good. I do. He gets the best guests.
Yeah.
Simultaneously, like three of the best guests. Yes.
Yeah. And it is a big variety of people.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Just no two of them are in the same job at the same time. It's just like, whoa, fuck, man.
Yeah.
And it is super cool. It is cool to listen to people, their stories about stuff, and you get a different perception of them when they come onto those shows. You're like, fuck, man, that person's pretty cool.
But obviously they are still very much reading from a key card, and like, they've got their
set
answers that they would generally wheel out. But
you've also got to protect your
it's their brand,
image.
Right? Yeah, it is their brand. But I think, like, do you think, like, we live in such a world now where we expect everything now, right? Like, we're a very now society.
Have been for a long time now.
Are we now, with when you talk about like content creation for a business and a brand and sales, it's that jab, 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 hook scenario, right? Yeah. Where you give it away, give it away, give it away, hook them in.
And then give it in there.
Do we just now expect to take the three jabs and no hook? Like, we don't want to pay for something if...
Yeah, like, absolutely.
We just take as much as we can for free. Yeah.
But then also some of the bigger companies, we think, let's go Facebook, YouTube and Google, they're all pretty much tied in together. We sort of all know that. They now are actually restricting some of the stuff that we're allowed to do. You know, like you see, so much topic now is actually getting removed from YouTube and removed from Facebook and stuff, you know, because basically we're saying stuff we shouldn't say, or we put on stuff that we shouldn't do. I mean, I think that was one of the reasons why Rogan actually wanted to move to Spotify too, that he could actually, if he wanted to put up a video or something, a bit more control.
Yep.
And I've listened to so many reports of people who are getting content removed. But also too is then, you know, I've also seen people, and there was one particular guy I listened to, and I actually thought he was probably quite trusted in regards to sort of media relations. And he was actually sort of saying he's getting content removed from this and that and going through this process. And then I looked him get involved in something, and he brought somebody onto his show and had a bit of a talk about some stuff. And for me, at the end of it, it turned out to be a fucking scam.
Right.
You know, and yet he's world renowned, but he got somebody in there and he sort of was self-selling some ideas around, you know, personal wealth and stuff.
Yep.
And I thought, oh, I'll have a listen to what this guy's sort of saying. He's obviously fairly reputable. Let's see what it comes up to. Well, and so I got into it, and after about the first 15, 20 minutes of listening to this, going, this is a fucking scam.
Yeah, right.
So what he's done is he's promoted on his own thing. But he was one that got, you know, matter removed from YouTube.
Yeah.
And stuff banned off and things shut down. It's like, oh, all right, shit.
Tell me, are you the sort of parent? I think that there's two types of parents, right? Well, there's probably 100 types of parents. Let's compare these two. Okay, you've got a boy, right? Say you've got a high school age boy, he's 12 years, 13 years old. Whatever reason, you go pick him up one day from school and he's in a fight. It's a fair fight. It's one-on-one. Do you get out and stop it?
Yeah, I think so.
You do?
Yeah, you do. I think you have to.
Okay, it's an unfair fight. There's 3-on-1. Do you get out and stop it?
Yeah.
Okay, so now think about companies like YouTube, who have to sit there and watch two dummies go at it that are probably going to affect everyone around them. And it might not be much. It might be a little bit here and a little bit there, and it's just chipping away and chipping away. Or, you know, they have someone that walks into the fight and goes, yeah, nah, everyone should fight that kid. And then all of a sudden everyone's involved, yeah. Right?
It's all in one, yeah.
Does YouTube have a responsibility to everyone to sort of go, all right, let's tone this down. Let's go and break it up. Like, let's get rid of this. If it's going to be a problem, let's just get rid of it.
As a responsible owner of a business, yeah, you definitely have to be down that path.
Mm.
You know, you have to be. Because I say the content that, look, I mean, I've seen some stuff that's slipped onto Instagram and things like that and gone, ooh, holy fuck, right. How the fuck did that get on there? Yeah. But then all of a sudden, bang, it's gone. You think, thank fuck for that. That's fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, look, I mean, and there was one guy, and I was a bit surprised he put it on, and I might have spoken about it last time.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Did. Yeah, Cameron's.
Yeah, Cameron's. It's like, fuck, man.
Yeah, but then, like, the other thing is, well, why does our opinion matter more than someone else's?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's all
right.
It is, right? Like, we're it's all this age-old debate of where does free speech end, and apparently it can't, right? Like, if my speech is free, then yours is. Doesn't matter what you're going to say. Whatever the next words are that come out of your mouth, you're allowed to say it. So's old mate, this guy, that lady.
And the one thing is now, more than ever, is that free speech is not really free anymore.
Well,
it's free for when we want to say it,
yeah.
But then the price gets paid afterwards, which is, that's always a sad thing.
Yeah, but I think it's always been that way. We're just seeing it on a different scale, right? Like, you don't go up to someone and fucking get in their face and say what you want and not expect to get slapped in the mouth.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, it's just a scale, right? Like, the scale just differs. But yeah, it is a strange time at the moment for the world and activism and protests and all these sort of things. It's
Do you reckon the messages got lost in America at the moment?
I think the looting and stuff like that hasn't helped. We've seen, but we're not there, right? Like, we're fucking 15,000 kilometers away. Well, however many thousands of kilometers.
It's a fair few kilometers.
It's at least 100. And, we see what we get fed, right? And we get that. Mm. There's the shit that we see is the stuff.
We get fed the good stuff.
We get fed all the shit stuff as well. Yeah. It's we only see the outrageous protests. We only see this and that. Every now and then a couple of really nice, wholesome videos will make through, you know, cops doing the right thing and blah, blah, blah. And
they have the worst job in the fucking world.
Yeah.
You know, and especially in an environment like that where, you know, it's easy to get a gun. It's easy to get...
Especially in the States. Oh, sometimes it is literally kill or be killed.
Yeah, that's right. And
there's a lot of times where it's not kill or be killed. It's just kill and then deal with it later.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you've been in first responding type jobs, and I know I couldn't be a cop. I just don't have the temperament or the personality for it. Like, there is a certain type of person that is an effective police officer.
Yeah.
And there's so many that aren't.
Oh, yeah. And I think, as I say, you lose your faith in people the more you get involved with dealing
with people.
With people, yeah.
Yeah.
People can change your mind about people.
I tell you what, you work on a door for a few months, few years, few hours.
Yep. You can sometimes you can sort of say, I fucking hate people.
I hate pubs now.
I do too.
Pubs now.
I don't think since I stopped doing door work, I don't think I've ever enjoyed or relaxed being in a pub.
I've always had the other day, but I had 100 beers.
And that'll loosen you up big time. So,
but it's cool because everyone's sitting down. No one can get up. There's not a lot of movement.
Yeah, that's good.
But yeah, I don't know, man. I think we've certainly get fed a certain idea, but I think is it been effective? Yeah, I think it's been effective. I think like a lot of stuff has changed in the States already. A couple of laws have changed and stuff like that. Like a lot of stuff around like no knock warrants and.
Yep.
And stuff like that where that lady was shot.
Yeah.
Because they had someone in custody already that they thought, like when you talk about systems breaking down.
Oh, that was a massive.
Kicked the door into a house thinking old mate was there when they literally already had him in custody.
Yeah.
Sounds like our business is running
bang.
That business.
Mm, yeah.
it's just.
Bang, get on the floor.
Yeah, freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's fucking bizarre that. Like it could, can you imagine if that happened in Australia?
Oh, yeah.
Like think about, like even the Melbourne, the cafe things, the scrutiny they were under.
Yeah.
Man, if that was the States, it would have just burnt the whole building down.
Yep. They would have got fucking Rambo and just go.
Yeah, right. And it's this, like obviously different crime levels and scale and all those sort of things. Like it's apples and oranges, but.
It's so nice here though that we've inbuilt a little bit more of a safety net here. Is that you know purchasing a firearm is a difficult task,
hard.
Which is look it is such a fucking good thing.
I think it is too.
Because I mean, look in America, I mean they've always had that sort of a right to freedom, you know, a rights to carry arms and that sort of stuff built into their fucking. Yeah, it's just stupid.
Strange. Have it's you just, seen? Do you watch a lot of Family Guy?
I watch fuck all TV anymore. Oh, okay. But
it was
I
like an episode. It was years and years ago. It was in the early seasons, and it was like because they do like these little skits in the episode, and it goes back to the like where they're writing the Constitution or whatever, and they've got like cut off arms from a bear, and they're like right to bear arms. They're not going to get this mixed up, are they? It's like no, that'll be fine. it's just.
I said the biggest laugh is always, you know, is they're following the same law that was done with a fucking feather.
300 years ago.
It was written by a feather.
Yeah, it's...
You know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Laws need to change. People have changed. But even if they outlawed it tomorrow, how would they... They would never be able to,
remove all
track them all down. Never.
And I say to remove all the firearms, I mean, and some people, you see some of the arrests, you know, and I used to watch that show, Cops.
Oh, so
and,
good.
Oh, that's fucking great. And you watch them, they start then just combing the house and dragging us, and you look at the weapons coming out and go, fuck me, man, look at that. Yep. Fucking full automatic weapons. It's it's military grade automatic weapons. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
When we were in Canada, we went into a sports store. You could buy a fucking Uzi, $189 for a fucking Uzi. It's like
for get beers, the mate. Yeah, hunting deers out the side of your car.
how many deers are you gonna want to kill? It was like, oh man, like, and that was just
what an extreme place. Like they don't do anything by halves, do they? Food.
Yep.
300%.
Yeah.
Guns, 1,000%. It's just...
You want it all, you get it all. But look, our culture has got so much of them in us, and then we've got so much of the European culture in us, and we've lucky enough, we've fucked off some of the stuff, we've allowed some of the stuff to stay, so we've got to know.
I think we're super lucky, and... Everyone won't agree with me here, but I think we're lucky in a sense that we grew up with a very physically violent culture. Like the old biff, right? Like take it out in the front, fucking sort it out,
bang, bang,
back
bang.
Inside.
Yeah. That's it. Shake hands, back inside.
You know what I mean? It was like now it's definitely different. Even when I was, you know, late teens, early 20s, those sort of things. It was always just fucking one-on-one, deal with it. And then I seen it go from like one-on-one to two-on-one and five-on-one to 10-on-10 and 20-on-one.
All your mates get involved and it's just like, oh, yeah, it's like, why?
I don't know.
A pack mentality is like it's
But it's our most natural
yeah, it
response,
is.
Right? Like, this is our tribe.
We've, protect your friends.
It's our tribe for the night.
Yeah.
It's, but it's just we have evolved beyond that.
Yeah.
That's the reason we don't sleep outside anymore.
Thank God at the moment because the weather's shit.
Shit
house. Fucking shit.
Yeah. So, look, I think we're lucky in Australia that it's always just, and like not just Australia, obviously, like, you know, like you're like England and shit like that. Like my old man's stories growing up were very much the same, only because when he was a kid, they probably still had muskets and no one could fucking.
But you could load the fucking thing faster. Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like this.
But there's only pockets of the globe that are safe. There's only just pockets.
But is it that, or is the majority of the place safe? We just hear about the shit. Because, you know, like think about when, you know, we've spoken about this before and very different stories out of places like Egypt, right? Like it's the greatest place, it's the worst place. Like it's like restaurants. Really? Yeah. Like one good friend would be like, I had a shit meal there. And be like, oh, really? Because ours was fantastic.
Mm.
So, like, I don't know. Like, obviously, there is huge parts. I was thinking about it. I sent a picture of Detroit the other day. And obviously, the economy there is dead.
Yeah, the car industry is really.
But there's still, like, a bustling city full of skyscrapers and people that live and work there. There's wealth there.
Yeah.
But we just get this one idea of it that it's all done. And obviously there is massive amounts of abandoned buildings and stuff around Detroit. There is, yeah. But there's still like a city there. Like it hasn't just shut down. Like no, there's still just, life goes on there. We just hear a little bit of the bad parts.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing is like in a big city, when things go pear-shaped, it's more evident. It's more evident to see it. You know, out in the country, look, you wouldn't know if people aren't working because basically it's just, it's all just goes on around us.
Yeah, it's just all out of sight, out of mind.
Well, I mean, so even now, I mean, look, the amount of homeless people we have here in town.
Even,
it's quite stressful. Small,
yeah.
It's quite stressful, the amount of people that don't have places to live, that don't have work, that don't have regular food and stuff. It is quite distressing if you give a fuck about people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not a nice thing. I mean, as I've...
Such a complex issue as well.
It is complex because, I mean, some of it is by choice. Some of it's not by choice.
That's a hard thing for people to understand. And some people, like, it's easier. Like, it's the easy choice. We've spoken about, you know, doing the easy thing, taking the easy choice. Homelessness is such a complex issue when it comes to beginnings and ends and middles and permanency. And, like...
Because the where it starts... As to where it unfortunately will always end up, it's never good. It always starts with a bad situation, and unfortunately, it ends with a bad situation. Yeah. Generally, it is bad for that person, you know. So, you know, my cousin's been on the border of being there. You know, he's been lucky enough. He's managed to squeeze himself into the system where he's always had, you know, some kind of refugee house to go into. But he's always been on the edge of not having somewhere to be. And some of the stuff have you been putting shit in your mouth long? He's just spilled his coffee all down his
fucking
face.
Mess.
Fucking hell. Fucking menace is what you are. Anyway, and his whole life has been a struggle. You know, it's always been a struggle. And yet he was brought up in a good family with good stuff going on.
Yep.
But he just made a couple of shitty choices, and those shitty choices are just compounded. And he's had a life that I believe has been substandard. For what he could have had. You know, he's been knocked around heaps and he's been rolled for cash and just, you know, he's just in that environment. And it's a terrible thing that he'll just keep putting himself there, though, because that's what he knows.
It's comfortable, right? Yeah. Like, as uncomfortable as it sounds to us, it's comfortable for him. It's, you know, it's so easy to make decisions in your teenage years that affect you for so long.
Oh, yeah.
I'm prime example. You know, like in my early 20s, carrying around a criminal record, everything. Like, I was at one point, I was like, try and get into real estate. I'll do my cert for. Oh, wait, criminal record. Who the fuck's going to let me in their house? You know what I mean? Like, and it's like all this sort of stuff. And, you know, like, I'm not saying I'm a good person now, but I'm a damn sight better person than I was when I was 21. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how I feel or what you feel about me. It's what you can prove, right? It's not what you know. It's what you can prove. And it's so hard to get stuck in that loop. So easy to get stuck in that loop and so hard to climb out of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
And so, look, and perception is reality for a lot of people. We've talked about that before. You know, what people perceive of you is their idea and that's their reality. Mm. And unless you're able to change that, and a lot of people you can't, you know. A lot of people have a preconceived idea of who you are.
Get it right that first time.
Yeah, that's exactly
I don't have a criminal record. No, not like I do, but let me explain it, because
No, that's it. You've got a criminal record, Sorry about that. Off you fuck, you know. Yeah. And it's such a shame that we do judge, but then again, sometimes you have to. Your protective mechanism needs to allow you to,
that natural thing, you know. It used to be you're wearing different clothes from me, or a different face paint, or you look a bit different. You're not from my tribe. Who are you?
Yeah.
What are you here for?
Well, that's the one thing too, is like, you know, if you look on Instagram and stuff like that, there's a lot of posts come up now, and because a large proportion of the Negro population in America are obviously, you know, feeling quite threatened with everything that's going on, you start seeing now people putting across stuff, well, white people matter too. And so, like, well, everyone matters. Doesn't matter whether it's white, doesn't matter if it's black, you know, fucking whatever colour you want to fucking tie yourself with. People matter.
And right now, some people aren't getting the same level as everyone else.
No.
So you need globally to fix it, right? Like, if there's a hole in the boat, you don't just go sit up the other end of the boat. You need to fix the hole in the boat.
You need to fix the hole, you know. And that's a terrible thing, you know, like all the protests and stuff that have gone on. And sort of like a lot of people are getting the cause mixed up with actually what needs to happen. And that's such a shame thing. I mean, I've seen some stuff with, you know, white people's lives matter too. But that's not the issue here.
Yeah, it's the best analogy I've seen so far is a rapper called Talib Kweli. And he said, look, he said, like, saying that all lives matter instead of black lives matter is like saying all houses matter except mine that's on fire.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you put the house that's on fire out first.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, it's such a shame, you know, that we've ended up being sort of the message is now lost.
Yeah.
You know, nobody remember, you know, anyone's name after all this. They'll just remember that this fucking death has incited a fucking riot and people have gone looting, and it's just...
Well, I think there will be... There's obviously lasting change that will come of this. It's already been pushed through. Unanimous decisions on laws and stuff like that. So to say that it won't change or it's now lost, I think might be a bit short-sighted. If it's only a chip closer... It's still closer, right?
Like, yeah, it's still right.
I think the thing that was really good to see, and the thing that probably scared a lot of governments, was when, oh, fuck, these people can still band together. We've separated everyone. We've done so well at keeping everyone out of each other's business. Oh, wait, they can still turn on us. They still have the power to come together, which is what we're really good at. If we need to, we just don't do it.
Oh, no, we don't. No,
we're bad at it.
We're very good at following along. And that's one of the things is like every government, and it seems to be, and this is just the stuff that I've seen, every government during this lockdown has made little changes to stuff which normally should have gone before.
Yeah, well, you never take it back, do you?
No, that's right.
You always put something through and let it go through and leave it.
And even some of the changes they've done, I mean, even our local here, Mark McGowan, the state premier, I saw something on Google the other day, so saying that there was some policies that actually normally would have had to have gone through Parliament.
Mm.
They actually instigated during this lockdown because they couldn't get Parliament together, so it was far easier to do it, so they did it.
Yeah, George Pell was another one.
Yeah.
Smashed through that appeal because no one was there to...
No, was it? Yeah. So, and that's the thing is they've pushed stuff through because it's just easier because, you know, public opinion will hold things back and it's like we can't get things to happen.
Mm.
You know, so it's just been a strange time, you know, and it's a time in our lives that, you know, will never be forgotten. I mean, this for us has changed everything.
Yeah, this last 7 months, 6 months, like definitely the last 6 months and probably more so the last 4 months, such a strange blip on humanity's timeline.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter whether, you know, some of the stuff that we're saying is educated or uneducated, or it doesn't matter what it is. It's like with these changes and stuff have still happened around us, and they'll continue to happen. Because, I mean, we're not out of this bullshit yet.
No.
Now, people are still staying. States are locked down. I mean, when do you think the next, you know, international flights, you know, to sort of say, okay, you know, somebody's not doing it for medical reasons. They've got to go overseas. They've got family,
yep,
and they want to go for a holiday. But I just, you know,
you don't reckon it's going to happen soon?
Well, I'm fucking
this
hoping.
Year.
I don't believe this year.
Okay.
I don't believe this year. I reckon it won't be until next year that we actually start to open up international flights for actually holiday purposes.
Oh, the minute they do, we're going.
Oh yeah. Look, it's.
Would you have the confidence to go?
Depends on where I was going. You know, I'd be very choosy where I was going. Look, I don't give a fuck about the coronavirus, all bullshit, fucking colds and flus and all that sort of wank. It's more sort of like if you're going to go somewhere, you want to go somewhere where you can have an effect to their economy, and make a small blip on their radar and go, oh, thanks very much. But you also want to go somewhere where it's not affected, where you're not going to actually have your holiday ruined by, well, you still can't do this, you still can't do that.
Yeah.
And you know, like it's going to have to be quite careful because.
Love money to go somewhere and sit in your hotel room.
Yeah, that's right. And so say, look, we're still not allowing 20 people in a restaurant and you've just got to wait outside waiting for a fucking hot dog and chips.
Just go to Japan, mate. No one can fit 20 people in a restaurant.
No, it's true.
Yeah, it's
the other fear thing.
Strange.
The other fearful thing will be is also too is that a lot of airlines have obviously closed.
Mm.
I mean, and some of them will reopen. Obviously, you know, somebody will buy them out, whatever.
Always.
What will the prices be like? And that's the other thing too.
Well, yeah, is it going to be super high to justify the loss, or is it going to be super low to try and get everyone in? Who knows?
That's right. You know, and then same with hotels, because you know, once they open it up, people say we haven't had. What did I hear the other day? I heard there was a particular hotel chain that with this had gone on was losing $60 million a year from people not staying.
Hotels make money.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that they're so cheap. Look,
so cheap.
You go into a 5-star hotel, which is luxurious, just saying in a small city like Perth, you can still get away for $250 a night for like a really good quality room, you know, just... You know, and if you upmarket that to sort of like one of the suites and stuff, yeah, you might be up around $600 or $700, which, you know, it sounds like a lot of money for us normal plebs, but for some people, that's just splash cash.
Yeah.
You know, and those rooms they're beautiful, but
yeah,
they're not a fuckload different from the buddy $250, $300 rooms. You know, they've just got a little bit more, you know, a little bit better view, and they probably drop some bottles of wine off and some buddy nibblies and shit like that. You know, and you've got a bit more of a foyer to go into and stuff. But, I mean, it's just that sort of money. I mean, those hotels have got no fucker in them.
Yeah.
You know, you go up to Perth now and you want to stay at some of the big hotels. Where normally you'd have to be vying for a car spot.
Still like expensive.
Still expensive, but you get a choice of fucking car park underneath there now. And those places, I mean.
We just had some friends get married. And four of us chucked in, or three couples, or three lots of people, chucked in for a weekend away from them. And I'll tell you what, like there's some places that haven't drop prices at all. Like we got a weekend away from at Bunker Bay at the Pullman there, and it still wasn't cheap.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Nice down
there, it looks real nice, absolutely. But like it's just, yeah, I don't know, man. It's strange. Yeah, like we all, like it's still worth the same thing, right? Like it's still, like obviously they've got to make money and blah, blah, blah. But the service and the product is still worth the same amount. We just expect it to be cheaper because, I don't know, we expect that everyone else is having a hard time and should hook us up. Goes back to Rogan, right? Like, why do we expect them to drop their prices? It's the same product.
Yeah.
But just because we've been inconvenienced, yeah, we deserve it cheaper. Like, I don't know. It's, I don't know, man. It's strange. It's such a strange concept of... Like business, like how does business now go ahead? Like how do you prepare for the next one? You don't, right?
You don't.
You just don't risk it anymore.
No. That's and a lot of businesses have opted.
We'll just go, it's not worth the trouble.
No, it's not. You know, and that's, so that's the thing is rehiring people. Because what did I hear the other day? I was listening to something. They were talking about some restaurant owners. So this person had quite a large restaurant chain. Like they had maybe 54 restaurants around the place, and you know, obviously they were not allowed to be open. Mm. So all of a sudden there was a letter came out and said, you're allowed to open next week on the 22nd. And their comment was, well, how the fuck am I supposed to staff up food up and everything in that amount of time? Mm. Well, we can't do that. It's nice for you to sort of say, now you can open, but how the fuck are we going to, we've got to get all our staff back, you know, and then, and get them all up to speed with what we're doing. We've got to get all our chefs back, get them sort of like ready to actually have a menu. Yeah. Are we going to run the same menu? Can we get the same access to product or produce that we had before? That's a big fucking thing.
Yeah, man.
I mean, look, thank fuck here that we didn't really get, when the restaurants here did get badly affected, but I don't think...
Not to the scale of the states. Like, no. The states were just like, don't leave your house, otherwise you'll get a fine.
Yeah.
Whereas crazy. We're like, don't leave your house unless you absolutely need to go get coffee.
Yeah, that's right. And potentially get a brownie slice.
Yeah.
Because
everyone... But just get it through the drive-thru. Right?
Yeah, that's
don't
right.
Don't be
yeah.
a dick. But don't use cash. That's it. It's been really weird. But I don't know, man. It's shown our resilience as a people. Like,
well, for us,
we're just going to joke about it, right? Like, that's eventually all it's going to be. It's just going to be a joke.
Yeah, it will be. The only thing that will be is if something like this sparks again, and we have another like a bit of an economy blip, which it's probably quite.
Mm.
It's quite a reality around that.
Yeah.
I mean, whether it's you know, because at the moment we've still had cases popping up here and there, especially over east.
Mm.
But at what risk? And that's the thing, as I always ask them, the risk versus reward. That's the thing, is like, at what risk are these people to contaminate the whole of Australia that this is what's going to happen? And that's what sort of worries me a little bit. You know, you hear this thing, and obviously the media's got to escalate a little bit and jump it up the line.
It's a business.
It's business. They've got to make money, but it's all on views.
Probably about the only business that's making money at the moment.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because people will say, what the fuck is happening in the world?
Yeah.
So turn on Channel 7, Channel 9, Channel 10, you know, bring on the doom and gloom. You know, and if we do get another blip in the radar, so do we go in just as hard? Do we fuck more of stuff, or do we go, nah, man, wasn't that bad last time? What do we do?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll depend how quick it happens again.
Yeah.
Whether it's the same people involved. So, like, think about where we work. Well, so everyone, you need to think of the government as a business. That's all it is, believe it or not. It is just a business.
Yeah.
Think about where we work. Think about where you work. Our response to this was very gradual, right? And anything, not even just this, like anything our business does is so very different from one time to the next because there's a new guy in charge, or there's a new lady in charge, or the guy that dealt with it last time's in a different area now. So, like, it's just, I don't know, will we do it better? I'd like to think we'd do it better next time.
You'd like to think so.
I think you would see the borders shut quicker. I think you would see the, you know, the ferries and the cruise ships and that sort of shit. They'll just go, look, no, because this was the problem last time.
Yeah, that's right.
That'll stop. But then would it be as strict on businesses? Probably not.
You'd like to think so. Look, and that's the one thing that you listen to them saying over in the States at the moment. Is it, and sorry to keep talking about the States, ladies and gentlemen, but that's where it's all that
information.
It's where it's all that. Is that so? They've now, obviously the streets have got people just running fucking nuts and guts everywhere. They're all in close proximity to each other. It's like, well, if they don't get an elevated fucking cases and it's going fucking ape shit over there, then that's that's gonna fucking lose a lot of.
It's the guns that are protecting them, mate.
Yeah,
can't get coronavirus scared of guns.
That's why they still have Chuck Norris over there.
Is he still alive?
Yeah,
is he scared with? I bet you he was scared. No, he wasn't never scared of the coronavirus.
Yeah, he would never get coronavirus. Won't get anywhere near him.
He's COVID-18.
That's it. Yeah.
Look, I don't know. It's I think that they wouldn't scale it back as quick. I think that they would, like, so we're going now like phase 1, 2, 3, 4.
Mm.
I think that they would go 4, 3. Yeah. Okay.
Now hit it hard and bring it back the other way.
Yeah, I think that they would be a little bit more sensible in that way, but just because they can't afford to have this many people out of work again.
No.
Like, it's just, like all those casual industries and restaurants and stuff like that,
yeah,
just shutting down literally overnight. I don't think they can afford to do it again.
No, no. Look, Australia's been probably quite lucky that we're probably self-sustainable enough, and probably all the ships and stuff that were coming in with, with import products, we're probably already on the way when we started shutting borders. And so yeah, we're probably lucky. We probably just so got enough
slow
stuff.
Slow delay.
Yeah, that's it. But if we, if we shut too early, could be good for the local economy. You know, a lot more Australian products would get used. But then once again, are we going to be able to manufacture those products?
We can't afford to buy the Australian products.
No, it's such a
shame.
Right?
Like, it's all well and good. Like, I fucking love seeing people. Oh, it's my favourite. Get on Facebook. Fucking buy Australian. Stop buying Chinese shit. They're writing it from their iPhone, driving their fucking Toyota. Like, it's just like...
Yeah.
And then complain when the price of fuel goes up, price of beer goes up. Yeah. Like, you can't expect to make $150,000 a year and then, pick one, right? Like, you're either fully into capitalism or you're not.
No, you're not. Yeah, that's right. And it is a difficult thing. And so, I mean, look, it'd be absolutely fucking marvelous if we could buy some of the products. But
we expect too much money it's too expensive to live here and manufacture here. It just is.
It just is, yeah. Now look, we've fucked ourselves over, pretty much starting from the 60s when mining really started to be
just pushed their house prices up.
Yeah, everything went up.
I remember working with a guy and I was in my early 20s and he bought a house in Port Hedland. Or maybe Karratha, somewhere up there, and he bought it. It was a fucking 2x1 fibro shack, and he bought it for like $260,000. Sold it for $1 million, like two years later.
Crazy. But things, people will pay it.
Yeah, and people will until, like, they go buy a $1 million house because they're always going to have this $180,000 a year construction job. Yeah, sweet, until it's not there.
Yeah.
And then no one wants to buy your $1 million house, mate.
Nah. Well, I think there was a problem in Karratha when, obviously, Gorgon was going on the oil project. Like, all the price of everything went up.
Even here, Collie, think about when the expansion was on, what rents were worth.
Yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And now, of course, nothing's going on.
No.
And everything's drop. You know, it's a terrible thing how that influx of work has such a bearing on the house prices and sort of, and you get the economy's only going to be stable if there's work.
Yeah.
And if there's no work, it's going to be fucking just treacherous territory.
Yeah,
you know?
But still long-term work is what you need, right?
Yeah.
You need long-term work and you need cheap living. Cheap, reasonable living. Yeah. That's what you need.
And in Australia, there's no such thing as cheap living.
No, everywhere that there's cheap living, there's no work. And everywhere that there's work, there's no cheap living.
So cheap living, yes. It's it is a seesaw. It is a seesaw ride. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. Obviously, I'm not an economist. I'm not a smart person.
And I think it's unrecoverable now. I mean, as I say, if simulation theory, if we fucking reset, fucking back to low prices.
I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for an update.
Reset.
Just give us a patch. Just give us the economy patch.
Yeah. And I say, if you could look back 2020. And just look back, starting from the 60s, and just sort of said to everybody, "No, man, you're not getting paid $50,000 a year. That's fucking stupid.
Yeah,
this is $20,000 a year. That's what you're getting." And just held it there.
Yeah,
this country would be like Asia. You know, you could produce stuff at such a low cost and be self-sustainable. Whereas we've fucking fucked it.
Well, look at our industry. They can build an alumina refinery in China in 16 months.
Yeah.
That'll do 1 million tons a year.
Yeah, pump the shit out of it, yeah.
I mean, we do, 4.6 million tons. So, yeah, we're making 4 or 5 times that. But it took us 30 years and it still isn't reliably doing it.
No, that's right. That's exactly right.
It's just crazy. But if you sent 5,000 Australian workers there. Nah, we'd need aircon. We want fancy dongers with TV and internet. We want all this stuff before we even
even start.
What's the start? I wouldn't even get out of bed for that money, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't get out of bed for that.
You know what I mean? And people, there's people that don't have beds.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's fucking horrific because the one thing is sort of like, you know, if you're in a situation where, you know, you had to take a massive pay cut because there's no other option in life, it's like, I wouldn't get out of bed for that. Get the fuck out of bed for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, everyone's got no choice. Sometimes yeah, you've just got to fucking, you just got to get out of bed for that shit.
Mm.
And it's not going to get any easier for the world going forward. You know, after this, it'll be interesting to see sort of like how many industries actually get affected by this outside of what we basically think of, and just see, well, how many products do we no longer have available? You know, what's not coming our way that we just won't notice anymore? Just hasn't started.
I haven't noticed anything yet.
Nah, not yet. But I'm just wondering, you know.
Bar entertainment, right? Like there's no pubs and yeah, restaurants and stuff. And that's been the only thing I've really noticed.
Yeah, that's it. And just all the basic liberties. The basic liberties that you weren't able to do before. Mm. You know, so not going to the gyms and that sort of stuff.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, all the good stuff. All the good.
Oh, so good being back in the gym.
Yeah, it's nice to have reality back. A little bit closer. Yeah. Send me back. It's still not quite the same, you know. I think we're lucky in the small town that we live in. People are sort of probably not quite as apprehensive of all the stuff because we never really got affected with it that bad, other than it's a lot. The businesses all got affected, but,
yeah,
you know, we never got outbreaks of shit and people were dying.
No, we've been very, very lucky.
You know, we have been, you know, so.
Absolutely biased because we just haven't seen it. We've all kept our jobs. We've, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like.
It's everybody, you know, the people that have lost their jobs, and I've said this to people before, we don't understand what the fuck has actually happened.
Mm.
Because my wage never got affected. I've got paid every fortnight since this thing has fucking started.
Yep.
It has made no difference to my life whatsoever, you know, and there's been so many other people in the same boat, and that's not fucking reality. Because, you know, I've got mates in the building industry where, you know, they haven't had phone calls because people haven't had money to pay.
Yeah.
You know, their hot water system's fucked over and they can't afford to get a new one because they're not working.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, that's heartbreaking to think that, you know, that your life is so stable to a point and then something like this happens and then all of a sudden it's like...
We're all so close to that.
Yeah.
We are all three pays away from being in severe financial problems.
It's scary. It really is scary.
90% of the people in this community would be fucked without 3 months of work.
Yeah. Yep. Bank comes in. Yep. Take you home.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think we're probably lucky here because, as I say, the banks have done, it looks like they've done some beautiful work in like freezing people's home loans and not having extra fees and stuff and allowing people to get so fucking blessed. Bless their cotton
themselves.
Fucking socks.
No, that's them looking after themselves. Because you know what? 30% of something in 10 years is better than 0% of nothing.
And history will tell. Look, I mean, and this is what happened. I remember going through Philadelphia shit over 20 years ago now. And, yeah, well over 20 years ago. And basically a friend of mine took me for a cruise through there. And there was houses, just like you'd see in the movies, the two-story white houses, you know, all this sort of stuff. There were streets and streets and streets of foreclosed signs everywhere, you know, like thousands of houses. And these houses here would be, you know, same as in the movies. You'd deem a couple hundred thousand dollars worth of houses, vacant, windows all smashed, squatters on them, because the banks couldn't sell them, because nobody to buy them.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they foreclosed on their loans, and then... They've
the
kicked
bank
them out,
stuck with it,
and the bank stuck with it. They can't fucking sell it, and all of a sudden it's smashed and crashed, and it's like it's not worth shit now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like we've probably learned from that. Going, if we foreclose on this, we're going to try and fucking sell it, and then if we can't sell it, we're stuck with it. And then it's like, you know, we're lucky we're in an environment here where, you know, there's not enough people without housing that will just break into somewhere and stay there.
Yeah,
you know, but
it's possible.
It's fucking possible.
Fuck yeah, it is.
It's fucking real possible.
When you look at like debt collection, they buy those debts. You look at any of your debts, you know, your car loan defaults and stuff like that. Those debt collection agencies buy them for like 20 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
So if you're a bank and you say, look, all right, this guy's just $10,000. Yeah, look, I'll give you $2,000 for it. I'll take it and get the rest of the money. And I go, $2,000's better than no grand.
Yeah. That was my second car that I got, was a repossessed car.
Yep.
And basically I think the car, brand new, was 18 grand. This car was 6 months old, and I think I paid 8 for it.
Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just
fuck like, yeah, fuck that other guy.
Yeah, that's it. You know, and when I found out, and mind you, I was maybe 22, 23.
I bet you felt real bad about it too, didn't you?
Well, I did for 5 minutes because it was a fucking nice vehicle. Yeah. And once I found out, because I made a mine at the car yard, fucking said, this is a repossessed car, you know, and they said, that's why it's going so bloody cheap. So, because it basically made the lot and I was able to go down there and before it actually got onto the front to get sold, they just pretty much just sold it to me. And they were just required to, I think they might have actually had a bond on it or something. So, but yeah, it ended up being such a cheap buy, and he still said, "Yeah, unfortunately, the guy couldn't continue his payments, so we just had to get the car repossessed."
Yeah, right.
And it's like, but we're not allowed to sell it for market value. We're only allowed to sell it for what we repoed it for. So I got a deal and a half, but I felt so sorry afterwards, thinking, "Oh fuck, it must be tragedy not being able to afford $8,000 left on your fucking loan." So something obviously fucking pretty horrific has happened to his life to be turned upside down. It doesn't anymore, you know. And I'm so glad that fucking, you know, I've never experienced that in my life, and I hope to God all the people that I know fucking never experience that either, because I reckon that'd be the most horrific feeling, not knowing where.
Or the most freeing. I like to think of it all going to shit financially as being a really, really good thing. Just be like, oh wait, it didn't matter. It's a fucking house.
Yeah. The other thing is too is that you learn how precious life can be, and you know the respect of other people. Because I mean, hopefully, when you're down, there'll be people to come in and help lift you up a little bit when things aren't so shiny.
If not, just rub them.
Yeah,
just work for Aladdin their stuff.
Yeah, work for Aladdin. Pop out a little lamp.
I don't know, man. The world is far more complex than we can figure out today.
Yeah.
Let's have another try again this week
and see if we can fucking make another change to stuff.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening along. Find us on the socials, LFTO Podcast, everywhere, and we will see you next time.
See you next time, guys. See ya.